I was wondering if anyone took the time to read the verse behind me when they came in this evening. Some of you were early, I know. I wonder, whilst you were waiting for the singing to start, did you take time to read this verse behind me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's in the Bible, and it's in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you know who spoke those words? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said those wonderful words. Dae Young, in his introduction, in his songs, told you that a lot of what we speak about in this hall, in this church, we speak about one person more than any other, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John has made mention of him many times this evening also, telling us a bit of who he is and what he has done for us. Tonight I'd like to ask you the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? You know, I was thinking this afternoon in particular, and I was reminded again on my way to the hall, evidence of him is all about us, wherever we look, wherever we see. Today is the 19th of January, I think it's the 19th anyway, of January 2003, and I'm sure you all enjoyed a nice New Year's Eve, and you may not have seen the New Year in, but I'm sure you had a pleasant evening on the last evening of the year and the public holiday, New Year's Day. Did you know that it's 2003 AD, anti-dominium or something like that, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's 2003 years since he came into the world. And so our calendar, especially in the Western world, is even related to Jesus Christ. Many of you have come just back to work from your holidays. Perhaps you're still on holidays. I've just enjoyed my time, and I started work last week, back at work, from my Christmas holidays. And it's amazing, there's another reminder of Jesus Christ. We celebrate his miraculous birth at Christmas. Now, have you ever noticed when you've been shopping that people say, the shops in particular say, Christmas sales or Christmas bargains? And you see it everywhere, especially around Christmas time. But a lot of people, instead of saying Christmas sales or Christmas bargains or whatever in relation to Christmas, instead of saying Christmas, C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S, they say Xmas. And as I was growing up, I thought, well, that's a handy way to say Christmas, because writing Christmas is, it's a fairly long word, and it's a lot easier just to say Xmas. And then one day at work, I was putting in, a few years ago, I was typing an email to my boss to say, look, Christmas is coming up, I'd like these few weeks off over the Christmas break. And I was typing it, I'm a very slow typer, just the old two fingers. And I was typing it, and I was going to type Xmas, X-M-A-S. And then I stopped and I thought about it. And I thought, hang on, if I do that, what am I taking out of the word Christmas? I'm putting an X in, but I'm leaving out C-H-R-I-S-T. I'm leaving out Christ. Now, a lot of people do that. They're trying to take the Lord out of, trying to forget the Lord at Christmas time, when in fact everything about Christmas is about the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was coming up to the hall tonight, I stopped at a set of lights on the intersection of King George's and Stony Creek Road, and it's a fairly long set of lights, and I just missed them, so I was sitting there waiting, and next thing this car comes up beside me, and it was a white car, long, sleek, sporty cars, and it had tinted windows in the back, and the front windows were all wound down, and these two very cool guys came up beside me, and they were looking really cool, and they had this music playing, and it was that sort of music that goes thump 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 thump, that real thumping, annoying music. Now, I consider myself still pretty young, but I don't like that sort of music, but they were very cool guys. And I just happened to glance around, as you do when you're sitting at a set of lights, and I looked into their car, and hanging from their rear view mirror was a little, like a necklace, and on the necklace was a cross. And I thought, here we go, here is another example of how the Lord Jesus Christ influenced is in so many places. They had a cross. Now that's a symbol of the cross on which the Lord Jesus Christ died. These guys, I don't even think perhaps these guys even knew what that symbol meant, but it's another symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. And around the world, in each country of the world, there are churches, there are buildings, there are cathedrals, there are shrines in honour and in remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, cast your mind back 3 years to the millennium. You all remember the millennium bug. And you remember the great thing it was to celebrate the year from 1999 to the year 2000. And I remember reading some magazines, and there was a lot of articles about the century that has just passed and the millennium that had just passed. And there was a lot of articles to see just what a change had been from the year 999 to 1999 in the 1,000 years past. And they were talking about the great age of automobiles and the great advances in technology. And there was quite a few articles, and one in particular struck me. They had a vote to see who was the most influential person in history. And Albert Einstein was up there as one of the great ones, and a lot of the great scientists were up there. But the number one person, the most influential person in history, was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, the most influential person in history. So what I thought we'd do just for a few short minutes tonight to finish off is to ask ourselves, well, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? A lot of people know of him, but they don't know much about him. A lot of people actually use his name as a way of swearing and a way of cursing. And I'm sure that they don't understand who the Lord Jesus really is. So please listen carefully. We're only going to be a few minutes, and we'll just have a look briefly, and this is a touching the surface, I know, of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, if you've got one of these Bibles, it's on page 673, the first verse of Mark's Gospel. This is just a short verse, so you needn't turn to it if you don't want to. And the Gospel according to Mark, it's in the New Testament, and it's like a biography of the Lord Jesus Christ's life. Do you know what a biography is? It's an account of somebody's life. If when I get to an old age, and perhaps I do some remarkable things in my life that require remembering, someone might write a book about me, and they'd be writing my biography, a book about me. Well, Mark here wrote a biography. He wrote a book about the Lord Jesus. And this is how he begins it. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. It's page 673. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a remarkable statement that is. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here we see that the most influential man, the most influential person in all history, is more than a man. He is the Son of God. Now, if you'd like to know more about that, read through the rest of Mark's Gospel. He gives a very detailed account proving and showing the authority that the Lord Jesus has, being the Son of God. Let's look. Turn back to Matthew chapter 16, and it's page 661, where the Lord Jesus, in fact, asked a question of some of his friends, asking them, well, who do you think I am? Matthew chapter 16, page 661. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. It's about halfway down the page, on the left side of the page. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, or his followers, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so here we have another person proclaiming, telling that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not just the Son of a God, but the Son of the living God. The Bible teaches clearly that there is only one God. He is a living God. And Jesus Christ is his Son. So he's more than an ordinary man. He's more than a prophet. Some people were saying, well, Jesus, you are like John the Baptist or like Elijah or like Jeremiah. Some of these great prophets and teachers. But Peter was right when he said, you are the Son of the living God. He was more than the son of a carpenter, more than the son of Mary, although she was a good woman. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one sent from God. Okay. Why is he so important? Why is he so influential? I've got 2 points to make regarding this. Firstly, the Lord Jesus Christ is so important, he is so influential, so important that you're here tonight to hear about him. It's so important that we're here tonight telling you about him 2003 years later, because of what, firstly, because of what he has done, because of what he has done in the past. That's the first point. We just remembered Christmas time, and we remembered how the Lord Jesus came into the world. He left the glory of heaven and came into the world, born of a virgin, born miraculously, amazingly. He came into the world. He came into the world to suffer and to die. And I'd just like to read some very difficult to read verses in Matthew chapter 27, just a few pages over from where we were. And I want to read to you just to show you how much the Lord Jesus suffered and what the Lord Jesus went through. Even though he was the Son of God, this is what he did, or this is what happened to him. This is an actual account of what the Lord Jesus went through. Matthew 27, it's page 671 in the Red Bible. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. Then they spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. And the rest of that chapter details the crucifixion, or the way that the Lord Jesus Christ died. He was nailed to that wooden cross, and that's why that cross is such a powerful symbol even today. So the Lord Jesus is important because of what he did. He came into the world miraculously, and he suffered, and he died so horribly, so that we could be saved, so that we could have salvation. Now, salvation is a word that we use quite often, especially from up here when we're speaking. And I don't know if you know what salvation means. I thought of an example, something that happened to me that may explain to you what salvation is. It may not help you, but I hope it will. About a year ago, I was working at Sydney Airport. And we had a job there that we were measuring the runoff from the tarmac, from the asphalt that the planes land on. We had to measure the runoff, so when the rain fell on the tarmac, we had to measure that water as it went into the stormwater system, because that water would then make its way into Botany Bay. And so some people at the airport wanted to know if there was any pollutants, any bad water coming off the runways and getting into Botany Bay. And if there was any problems, then they would have to fix that. They would have to put in pollution traps and things. And so our job involved installing a number of sampler tubes, and they were just basically water containers that when it rained on the tarmac, as the rain would come off into the gutters, part of that water, the first part of the water, would drain into these sampler tubes. We'd collect them, take them away and have them analysed to see if there was any petrols or things like that in them. My job was to install these tubes, actually get down into these pits and drill them on in the right position, and then make sure that they, once they were emptied, that they were clean, and just keeping them in working order. And we had about 6 of them in different parts of the airport. And so the first day I got there, I went to the first site and jumped down the hole, and it was a pit. It was probably about that square, the pit. So about there. So it was a pretty small pit in diameter, but it was deep. It was probably up to about the roof deep. It wasn't that deep. It was probably about that deep. So once I was in, I was totally surrounded by these walls, and there was the ground level was up here. I got to the first site and I looked down, and there was a little bit of water down the bottom, maybe about that much water on the ground inside the pit. I could see the ground, there was a few rocks sticking up, so I thought I'll just jump down. So I got in, I jumped down, I did my work, installed the first wing nicely vertical and everything was working right. I jumped out, moved to the next site. And there were six of them. About the first three were all the same. There were, in each of them there was about that much water. They were all about the same depth, and so everything went along nicely. Got to one, and it was just outside the main maintenance hangar that Qantas used to look after their planes. And it was a very interesting sight. You could see the nose cone of this aeroplane all opened up, and all the wiring and technical things there, all these guys running around working on this aeroplane. And the pit was just outside it. So we opened the grate, I looked down, and it was about the same as all the others. It was about yay deep, with a little bit of water on the bottom. So I said, look, I'll jump down, you can pass me the tools, I'll do it again. So I've got to the edge, and I've sort of hung on, and just sort of jumped down like that. Now, can you guess what's coming next? The water wasn't that deep, the water was about that deep. And I had a huge shock, because I jumped down, I just kept going. I was waiting to hit the bottom, and I kept going. And it went up to about there. And I've got to tell you, it wasn't clean water. It was oily, black, gritty, smelly, horrible, horrible water. And there I was, stuck down the bottom of the pit, up to about there. And there was no way I could get out. Well, I found out later anyway. The guys, once they'd stopped laughing, said, do you want a hand to get up? I said, no. I thought, no, I can't get them to help me up. I can get out on my own. I said, no worries, I'll be right. And so I started sort of coming like this, trying to get up, you know. And if you ever tried to do that, it's a very difficult thing. Especially when you've got gum boots on, you know, the big rubber boots that you wear, your galoshes in the wet weather. I had them on that were full of this gritty, dirty water, and almost I had like overalls on that were just sopping wet and really heavy. And I'm trying to get out, and I just couldn't do it. I'd get maybe a metre off the bottom, but I just didn't have the strength to pull myself up the whole way. So eventually, I sunk back down in the muck again. And I said, guys, Dave, send me a rope down and help me get out. And so they were able to lower a rope down to me, and I got up a bit, and then I grabbed, there was two guys, I grabbed each of their hand and they pulled me out. And it was a horrible experience. It was funny to them to watch me in the dirt, but for me it was a horrible, horrible experience. And I thought about then, well, what would have happened if I was there on my own? Because sometimes we go to these jobs on our own. And I thought, what would have happened if I was on my own? There'd be no way that I could have got out. I'd be there waiting for someone to come by, yelling out perhaps. And you know, salvation is a little bit like that. You see, we are hopeless. We're in a hopeless situation that we cannot get out of. And the situation that we're in, although we may not realise it, is a pretty mucky, dirty, filthy situation. The Bible says that each of us are sinners and we need salvation. Because of our sin and God's holiness, God has prepared a place called hell for those who reject him. And because of that sin, we are headed there. And the Bible speaks of sin, of hell, as a bottomless pit. The pit I was in had a bottom, it just took a while finding it. But the Bible speaks about hell as a bottomless pit. And each of us, as sinners, are on our way to that bottomless pit. And we need someone, like I needed Dave and Leroy up there, to save me. Each of us needs salvation from this pit, from this pit of hell. And some of us are like me. I don't need anybody's help. I don't care who it is. I don't need anybody's help. I can get by on my own. And I was thinking that, and I must have tried for a few minutes here to get out before I realised I couldn't do it on my own. Friend, you're in the same situation. You're a sinner. You're on the way to hell, not a wet, dirty pit, but a fiery pit. And you need salvation. You need someone to help you out. The Lord Jesus Christ is important to you. He's the most influential person in the whole world because he is the only one who can pull you out. Why? Because he came into the world, because he died. In dying, he became the sacrifice for our sins. That's a little picture of salvation. And so Jesus Christ, because of what he has done, he came into the world and he died. He took the punishment that we deserved upon himself so that we could be saved. In taking that punishment, he is able to save us. And of course, he returned to life again. Let's just take time to read a couple of verses about the indescribable return to life again of the Lord Jesus. Just turn the page. I don't know if your finger was still in it. Matthew chapter 28, page 672 in this Bible. Just read the first few verses here. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the Lord. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Isn't that amazing? And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, who was put to death. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. What an amazing thing! The Lord Jesus Christ resurrected or returned to life again after being dead for 3 days. He returned to life again. Another reason why he's such an amazing one. In returning to life again, he proved God's acceptance and he proved who he really was, the Son of God. Return to life again. So the Lord Jesus is so important, so influential because of what he's done. But he's also important because of what he will do. And John's already spoken to us about preparation. And you know, you would be considered foolish. An absolute fool. You are considered an absolute fool today if you don't prepare. I thought about stopping my superannuation for a while because I thought I needed the money now, but people talked me out of it because they said, "You're crazy if you stop your superannuation. You'll need it later on. You need to prepare now." And friend, you need to prepare to meet God. It would be foolish of you to leave it, to delay it, or to not prepare at all. You need to be prepared. The Lord Jesus is important because of what he will do. Let's read in Acts a couple of verses. Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, and it's page 741. We're going to break into a conversation here between Peter, who was a follower of the Lord Jesus, and a man who was asking questions about the Lord Jesus. And we're going to break in at verse 39 of Acts chapter 10. And Peter, speaking of himself and his friends, is speaking about the Lord. And so he says, "We," Peter and his friends, "we are witnesses of all things which he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they," that's the religious leaders, "hung," "whom they killed," sorry, "by hanging on a tree. Him," the Lord Jesus, "God raised up on the third day," we just thought about that, "and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And this is a verse I wanted you to take note of, particularly 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. I want you to take notice of verse 42 in particular, especially the last part of the verse. It is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is important in your life because of what he will do. He will be the judge. Firstly, we learn from verse 42 that all people will be raised. It says there, he's going to be the judge of the living and the dead. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ returned to life on earth, in a future day, when you die, you will return to life again to stand before the Lord Jesus to be judged. All people will be raised and all people will be judged. The second thing is, in verse 42, that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who will be that judge. And so that's why his resurrection is vital, because this is his job for the future, to be the judge. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. It guarantees the fact that there is indeed life after death. And in being life after death, there is a judgment to face. And so the question I'd just like to leave with you is this. What will you do when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? There is going to be a great division when you meet the Lord. There will be those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour in this life, on the positive side, who will enter with him into all the wonder and the glory of heaven. There will be a division. On the other hand, there will be those who reject him, who will go to that bottomless pit, that fiery hell, that horrid place that God has prepared for those who reject his Son. Where will you stand and what will you do when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, people I talk to, my workmates, when I try to tell them about the Lord Jesus, they say, oh, he's just a man from history. Yeah, okay, he was a great man, but he's in the past. You're living a fantasy, Craig, they say. You're wasting your time. But I know that I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus one day. And folks, you're going to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Are you ready to meet him? Are you prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Now that's all I'd like to say tonight. If you want to know more, please speak to someone. Speak to your mum and dad. Speak to one of us. But it's so important to be prepared.